Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Mark chapter number 2 tonight, and I want to look at a few verses here out of Mark chapter 2. Now, when I get to Mark chapter number 2, it's going to take me a minute to get there. But when I get there, some of the things that I'm going to say tonight, I've said before here at the church, but really it probably, in all honesty, should be said, probably this message needs to be preached about once a year, really in all honesty. And as I began studying and looking over what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight and really trying to find His will for the service, this thought came back to my heart, into my mind, and I want us to look at it again tonight. It really goes hand in hand with what we are trying to do and our goal for this year. And what I mean by that is simply this, our goal of reaching our community this year. And this is really going to tie in to what I've been preaching on and reaching out into our community in this new year. Do pray for me on Friday. I've got a second meeting with the Shepherd's House, and we'll be meeting and talking to them about reaching out into that area, helping there in that area. I don't know why my mic is starting to do that. Is that just my mind, or is it cutting in and out? And I don't know why it's doing that. If it doesn't much, I'll just switch to a handheld, and we'll order a new wire for the lapel part of it. That might be what it is. Mark chapter number 2. I'm going to read there in just a minute and give you a thought out of there. When you come to the gospel of Mark, it's a very, very interesting gospel. I love to study the word of God tonight. Amen. And one thing that I have found, and I've said this many, many times, but one thing that I have found is that the Bible is completely inexhaustible. Amen. No matter how much you read it, you're always going to find something new in the Word of God. And that's going to drive me crazy tonight. I'll tell you what, let me switch to the other lapel and let's see if it's any better. Brother Stan said it is. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but Brother Stan thinks it's a good book to study. And he said that he loved to study it. But anyway, I began studying this in Mark chapter number 2 again some this week and over the past week or so in preparation for tonight because of us reaching out into the community. And chapter number 2 really helps give us an understanding of some things that we'll face in reaching out into our community or in any kind of ministry that we do. And I want to look at it, but it's interesting when studying the Gospel of Mark. I went back and began studying the life of Mark. Now, I don't guess that I've ever preached just a message on Mark. So I began reading about Mark a little bit and his life is very interesting to study. If you've never studied the life of Mark, man, it is worth taking a few minutes to look into the life of Mark. Mark, whenever you begin to study his life out, you'll find out that Mark is probably a convert of Peter. He probably got saved underneath the preaching of Peter. And Peter and Mark is very interesting to study. And there's actually a lot of comparisons in the early ministry of Peter and the early ministry of Mark. Whenever you study Mark out, you'll find out that Mark actually accompanied Paul and Barnabas on the very first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas went on. But you'll also find out that Mark ends up forsaking them on that very first missionary journey and returning home. And one reason I think that Peter probably took Mark underneath his wing, if you want to say it that way, and was a mentor to Mark, is because Peter remembers a time when he also forsook the Lord at a time that God needed him, and that was at the crucifixion of Christ when he denied the Lord. But also when you study Mark, you'll find out that the biography of Mark proves that even though we mess up, God is not done with us, that God will give us a second chance. You'll go on to find out that Barnabas wants to take Mark with him on the second missionary journey, but Paul denies that and will not allow Mark to go with him because Mark had forsaken him on the first missionary journey. So Barnabas and Paul is actually separated. And Paul goes on, and Barnabas and Mark ends up going to Cyprus and there begins to preach. But at the death of Paul, right as Paul's dying, you'll find out that Paul sends for Mark and has Mark brought to him, and things are made right at the end between Paul and Mark. And Mark ends up using, or God ends up using Mark to record the gospel of Mark. And man, I'm telling you something, he is phenomenal in his writings here in Mark. You'll find out that the book's main theme is Jesus as a servant here in the book of Mark. It's the main theme that runs through it. You see the service of the servant in the first 10 chapters, and then in chapter 11 through chapter number 16, you see the sacrifice of the servant, because Jesus ultimately ends up dying for the sins of all mankind. Whenever you look in chapter 1 and chapter number 2, you find some very interesting things going on. In chapter number 2, or in chapter number 1, verse number 21, you find the power of Christ begins to be revealed. His power, and can I say this to you tonight? Christ is very powerful, amen? And you see that in chapter number 1, chapter number 2, And really even up through verse number 12 of chapter number 3. Let me show you a little bit of it. Now I'm coming back to chapter number 2 and going to center in a minute. But let's look at the power of Christ that's demonstrated in chapter 1, 2, and 3. You see His power over demons in chapter number 1, verse number 21 through 28. There was a man with an unclean spirit that comes crying to Jesus, and Jesus ends up casting out the demons. In chapter number 1, verse number 29 through 39, you see His power over disease. You'll find that Simon Peter's wife's mother was sick, and Jesus gives victory over that. But then in verse number 34, He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. In chapter number 1, verse number 40 through 45, you see His power over leprosy whenever you begin studying it. In chapter number 2, the first 12 verses of chapter number 2, you see His power over paralysis. And I'm coming back to that. But in chapter number 2, verse 13 through 20, you see His power over the publicans. And man, that's very interesting to read that right there. And He says this in chapter number 2, verse number 17, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And practically, man, I read through all this day. I love it. Practically, He just rebukes them right there and puts them in their place. Amen. In chapter number 2, verse 21 and 22, you see His power over the old religion. In chapter number 2, verse 23 through 28, you see His power over the Sabbath. And that's another very interesting read right there. And how He ends up saying in verse number 27, and He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He pretty much says, I'm Lord all the time. Amen. And He is in chapter number 3, verse 1 through 6, you see His power over deformity. There was the man with a withered hand that He ended up healing. And in verse number 7 through verse number 12, you see His power over demons again in chapter number 3. You said, preacher, why do you say all of that? I think it's very interesting to note the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has tonight. He has power over anything that we're facing tonight, over any addiction. A lot of times we say addiction and our mind immediately runs to drugs and things of that nature. But hey, Christ has power over any addiction that we may be facing, or over any problem that we may be facing, over any storm that we may be in. Christ has power over that whenever we study it. There's a series out on TV now, and you can say I'm wrong for watching it, right for what, you can say whatever you want to say. I enjoy watching it. I'm going to keep watching it. No, I don't agree with everything on it. There are several things on it that I disagree with, but it's very interesting to watch. Man, the name of it just left me. The Chosen. Yeah, The Chosen. Anybody else watched it? I know you have, Brother Heath. But The Chosen, it's very interesting to watch. It's depicting the times of Christ and His ministry, and last night we sat down, me and Leslie and the girls, and we was watching the episode that came out on Sunday, and he's coming back into Capernaum, and he begins preaching, and all the people is gathered around him, and man, he's healing them, and just to see the way that people is looking at him and their excitement and their joy after he heals them. He heals one that's blind, and he heals a man that's lame of his leg, and he heals him, and he jumps up, Brother Tim, and he hollers hallelujah, and he picks Jesus up, and he's running around with Jesus, and he sets him back down. And I thought, you know, man, that's probably really close to the way it was. You know, this man's been lame his whole life, and Jesus touches him that day. The excitement that was there. When you come to chapter number 2, you'll find out the Bible said this in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind when I read verse number 1 is, what house is he in? Now, I've read a lot of commentators trying to figure out what house he's in. And even, again, you might disagree with me on this, I've read some historians on whose house that they thought that Jesus might have been in. One said, a couple said that it could have been Peter's house that he was in right here. A few others said that Jesus may have had his own house at Capernaum, and it was his own house that he was in. So really, whose house he was in, we don't know, but the main thing is this, he was in the house. Can I say that again? He was in the house. And the difference is made when Jesus is in the house. You know, we can go to church all we want to, but if he ain't in the house, that's all we're doing is just going to church. We're just going through a routine. But he was in the house that day. Now, verse number 2 says this, and straightway many were gathered in, so much as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Boy, that's the right thing to do to people, is just give them the word of God. My opinion doesn't matter. What matters is the word of God. One of the ladies in the church, and I don't want to call a name because the individual they was talking about might end up watching our live feed one day. But one of the ladies that's here tonight was talking to me this week, and she had a challenge that has been put upon her at work over the next several months. We was talking about that, and I said this. I said, you know, the Bible talks about we're here for such a time as this. And I said, God has put you in that place for a time as this, and you can give them Jesus in that time. Man, just give them the Word of God tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Give them Jesus tonight. He goes on in verse number 3 and says this. And there came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, let me lay the groundwork into this tonight. I thought about this. I thought about their compassion right here. The Bible said this man was sick of the palsy, and let's for a minute tonight allow this man that is sick of the palsy to represent our community tonight. Let's allow him to represent those that's lost and on the road to hell. Let's allow him to represent those that may be saved but are in a backslidden condition. They're not in church. They're not faithful to the house of God. Let's let him represent the people we are trying to reach. Now, I thought about this. The only way that they ever reached this man was they had compassion on him that day. They had compassion that day. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 52. He said this, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." Mine eye affecteth my heart. And can I say something to you tonight? When we look and see the condition of the lost tonight, it should affect our heart, and it should cause us to have compassion tonight. To have compassion tonight. Why did they do what they did? Why did they get a man to Jesus? Why did they go to the extent that they did? And we'll see that in just a minute. Because they go to a great extent to get this man to Jesus because they had compassion on him. That's the reason why they had compassion. They loved him. They cared for him. You know what? Tonight we should care for a world and for a community that is dying and going to hell. You know what? I don't agree with the sins of our country. I don't agree with the sins of our community. This week I've been in and out of the sheriff's office numerous times. As a matter of fact, over the past week or so, and I've talked to them a lot about some things. I've said this, I may not agree with what people do, but however, they still have a soul. They're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. We should have compassion tonight. They got him to Jesus because they had compassion. But I thought about this. I thought about their compassion, but I thought about their confidence. They knew exactly who to take him to. I thought about their confidence. They knew exactly who to take him to. Can I tell you the answer for the lost today? It is Jesus tonight. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? It's Jesus tonight. You want me to tell you the answer for your lost family member tonight? It's Jesus tonight. I have all confidence that Jesus can take care of the problems that we face. They had confidence tonight in who they went to. Hey, if you don't have confidence in him tonight, you'll never win nobody to him tonight. But I know the change that he made in my life. I know the change that he's made in some of your life, and I have confidence that Jesus can heal the need of our community tonight. I thought about this. I thought about their consistency. Whenever you study this out, and I'm going to say more about this in the message in just a minute, but I thought about this. Whenever you study this out, they get to the door trying to get this man to Jesus, and they won't let him in. They won't let him in. They couldn't get to him. Because of the press. The Bible said when they came bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. Whenever they was met with the press, they couldn't get in to where he was at. The doors was filled up. The windows was filled up. They couldn't get in there. You know what? They could have quit. That's what a lot of people does. Hey, will you go to church with me? No. Well, they never invite them again. They never say nothing else to him again. But what happened, they was consistent in trying to find a way to get this man to Jesus. I thought about this, and then I'm going to give you the thought tonight. Could it be that one of these four was previously in the same condition as this man laying on the bed? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe one of these four, I don't know if it's four women, I don't know if it's four men, I don't know if it's two women and two men, I don't know if it's three women and one man or three men and one woman. I don't know. I just know he was born of four. I know there was four carrying this man to Jesus. Now, I thought about this, Brother Heath. Could it be that one of those people was sick of the palsy at one point themselves? We don't know all the miracles Christ done. everything that he done. The Bible even states that if it was all recorded, it couldn't even hold. We don't know all he done. It's just a few of the things that's recorded. And matter of fact, whenever I was reading to you a while ago and talking about it, the Bible said in verse 34 of chapter 1, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. There was many that got healed that we don't know their condition. Could it be that maybe even back here in chapter number 1 that one of these people was sick of the palsy, one of these many was sick of the palsy, and Jesus came by where they was at, and when Jesus came by, he touched them and healed them, and now they're going down the road. They've heard that Jesus is down at this house church, and Jesus is preaching, and man, people's getting saved, and people's getting healed, and they've heard about it, so they're headed down there to hear Jesus again, and on the way down there, they see this man laying on the side of the road. You know what? They've got a choice to make right here. They can look at him and keep moving, or they can pick him up and get him to Jesus. Could it be that one of them, as he passes by, looks at him and says, "Hey, sir, there's a man right down here that we're going to see, and I've met him. I know something about him, and he can help you in the condition that you're in." And maybe that man looks at him and says, "You know what? There's nobody that can help me." And maybe another one speaks up and goes, "You know what? There was a time that I was laying on a bed and I was sick of the palsy and I was in the same condition that you was in. But this man that's preaching right down the road here where all of that noise is at," chapter number 2 says it was noise that he was in the house, "all of that noise that you're hearing down there, that man that's preaching down there came by where I was at and touched me in the same condition that you're in. And now I'm changed. I'm a product of that man preaching down there. And you know what? If he touched me, if we can just get you over there," well, I feel like preaching a minute tonight, "if we can just get you over there where he's at, he can touch you and he can change your life. If he done it for me, he can do it for you." Could it be? We don't know. You said, "Preacher, that's not right. You can't tell me it's not right and you can't tell me it is right." Could it be something provoked them to get him to Jesus? I thought about this. We all have a past. Now, we can't live there. We forget those things which are behind, amen? But we all have a past. And you know what? You may have went through your past, and you have went through your past, so that you can tell somebody else, "Hey, there was a day that I was in the same condition that you're in. There was a day that I lay in the same condition that you're in. But I know where a man's at. And if you'll just meet this man, I promise you, he will change your life." Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, that's shouting grounds tonight. And we're sitting here dead as a doornail. I'm just being honest with you. Thank God for the day he came to where we was at and changed us. So now we can go get somebody else and take them to Jesus. But the problem is this. They get him there. They can't get in because of the press. Then they end up climbing up on the roof, and the Bible said this, they uncovered the roof where he was. They took the roof off where Jesus was at. I mean, can you imagine? Can you just imagine we're sitting in here having church, and all of a sudden the sheetrock starts falling out of the ceiling, and what's going on? Can you just imagine? You got to understand, and I was reading back through this today on Ivor Powell's book on the book of Mark. And man, he's got some awesome stuff to say. I found this interesting. I'm just going to say this in passing. I guess it's an ADD moment, Brother Brian. But I found this interesting in passing today. Ivor Powell wrote the book in 1980. He finished it in 1984. And in mid-1983, he got sick and was at the point of death and in a coma. And 5 different doctors worked with him and ended up getting him back. And after he came back, he said it was like the Lord told him, "You write a book on the book of Mark." And within just 9 months, he wrote a book on the Gospel of Mark. And it's one of the greatest books on the Gospel of Mark that's in print today. It's awesome. But anyway, I was reading back through this, and he was talking about the architectural structure of this place and the way it was. It's not a place like our church is. It's not a house like we would live in. The whole system was different. Matter of fact, it was a flat roof. You remember reading in Samuel, and the Bible said this, that David went upon the rooftop and saw Bathsheba washing herself on the rooftop. It was a flat roof. It was not a roof like ours today. And there were steps that went up the side. And you could go up on the rooftop and sit on the rooftop. Bathsheba bathed on the rooftop. So the roof was simple in that day, and it was flat. And here's the thing, that the roof, and I told you I've walked through some of this before, but really it applies to us in the area where we're at right now. And I just want to refresh our memory on it. The roof of that day was not made out of plyboard, or it was not a truss and stripped and then had metal on it. The roof of that day was mud, is what it was. They would take and they would mix, and even some writers were saying this, that they would mix leaves and dirt and water together, and they would make a clay. It's what they would make out of it. And they would put that mud or that clay on the roof system of that day. And that's what bound it together. And that's what the roof was made of. Well, the only way that they was going to get this man to Jesus is they had to remove the roof. Or we could say it this way. They had to get the clay out of the way. Well, if you'll go back to Genesis this evening and you'll begin in chapter number 1 and start reading the creation account, you'll find out that there was a day that God reached down onto the dust of the ground and spit upon the dust of the ground and made clay or made mud and molded man out of that. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. If we're ever going to get the sinner to Jesus tonight, we're going to have to get the clay out of the way. We're going to have to get ourselves out of the way. You know what? If we're ever, so many times, I said this preaching the other night in that Foothills meeting, so many times we get saved, and after we get saved, God changes our life, and God does a work in our life, and we forget where God brought us from. And we get to a place where we think we're better than everybody else. And you might as well holler, amen. We think we have reached this plateau and we're better than everybody else. And you know what, preacher? I'm not going to go down to the shepherd's house and try to reach somebody at the shepherd's house because I'm better than them. Or I'm not going to go to the jail. Or I'm not going to go to this place or that place or over here or over there. And I'm not going to help the homeless man out on the street. And I'm better than all. You know what the problem is? You got yourself in the way. Amen. We've got ourselves in the way. And the only way they ever got this man to Jesus, they had to get the clay out of the way. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a minute tonight. Getting the clay out of the way. Getting ourselves out of the way. Whenever we begin to get ourselves out of the way, whenever we begin to get our flesh moved back from us and realize without the grace of God, are you hearing me tonight? We would all be in a mess. We'd be in a mess without God tonight. Some of us, let me just say it that way, some of us that would be in a mental ward without the help of God tonight. You might as well say amen, because you ain't as sane as you think you are sometimes. Just be honest about it. You say, well, I don't hear a voice in my head, and I don't either. I hear voices. Are you with me? I hear voices in my head. Sometimes I wonder if I really am sane, Brother Heath. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm going to tell you something. The closer you get to God and the more you try to do for God, the more the devil fights you in areas. That's just the truth tonight. There is a demonic attack upon the church today. And if you're saved, I'm getting off track here, but it'll be all right. If you're saved, you cannot be possessed by a demon, but you can be oppressed by a demon. The Holy Spirit lives within me, and I cannot be possessed by a demon tonight, but I can be oppressed by a demon. Now, if you're lost tonight, there is a such thing as demon possession. I'm telling you, there he is, and I've dealt with it before. I'll never forget one time working at the hospital in security, Brother Brian. I'll never forget. We had a woman in there, and she was crazy as a bed bug. I'm telling you, she was crazy. Everybody else she was okay with, but I could step in that room, Brother Tim, and her voice would change. Different voices would come out of her. She hated the ground that I walked on. Anybody else could deal with her and she was fine, but she hated the ground that I was. And let me tell you what I believe it was more than anything. It's because I was a preacher and the devil knew that, and the devil was trying to rage war against me. You say, what did I do? I washed my hands to her and let somebody else take care of her. That's the way you de-escalate situations every once in a while. You let somebody else do it. It didn't bother me a bit to let somebody else deal with her. Let me tell you what was wrong. She was demon possessed. You go to prison. You go work in the jail. I'm going to tell you, 5 years that we spent working in and out of prisons just about every day of our life for 5 years. And I'm going to tell you something. There's an oppression in there. There's demon possession in there. And you hear me and hear me well. If it wasn't for the grace of God and God helping to keep that oppression away from us tonight, we'd all be a bunch of mental cases sitting down there and brought in a hospital somewhere pulling our hair out. But God has blessed us and God has been good to us and God has bestowed grace on us. And the reason we've got a home to live in tonight is because of the grace of God. The reason we've got clothes on our back tonight is all because of the grace of God. The reason we're able to comprehend and understand the Word of God is because of the grace of God. The reason we're not strung out on dope is because of the grace of God. And may we never forget, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be in the same boat as some others. So if we're ever going to reach a world that's lost, we're going to have to get ourselves out of the way. We're going to have to remove our feelings from us. Well, what's somebody going to say if they see me over there in that community? Well, so what? What? You know what I've come to the conclusion of? They're going to talk about you anyway. They're going to talk about us anyway. And getting ourselves, that's what happens. The only way they got that man to Jesus is they removed the clay and got him to Jesus. Getting the clay out of the way we get someone to Jesus is getting the clay out of the way. It's removing ourselves. You know what? When we remove ourselves, we'll really see the condition of the lost. We'll see the condition of the lost. Let me tell you what they need tonight. They need the same thing that that man laying there sick of the palsy needs. They need Jesus tonight. They need Jesus tonight. I'm not going to go into this. I'm not in the pulpit. I probably don't even need to go in and do it out of the pulpit with you, but I'm definitely not going to go in and do it in the pulpit. We have a major drug problem in our county. I'm telling you, we've got a major, it would blow your mind. It would blow, Brother Jonathan, you know what I'm talking about. You see, there is a major addiction problem in our county. And I'm going to tell you something. Spending more money on it is not the answer to that drug problem. That's not the answer to it. Opening up dry houses is not the answer to it. Let me tell you what, now you can holler amen or old me right here. Let me tell you what the answer to that is. A man by the name of Jesus and a church getting a burden for a world that's dying and going to hell and removing ourselves, getting ourselves out of the way. So what if they talk about us? So what if they say something about us by trying to reach a man? They're going to go to hell if somebody don't reach them. They had to get their self out of the way. And when we really get ourselves out of the way, church, we'll realize the condition of this country today. The condition of our county today. The condition, it's crazy. The overdoses that's already been in our county this month. It's crazy. Let me tell you what the answer to that is. It's Jesus tonight. It's Jesus tonight. It's Jesus tonight. And let me tell you the way that they're going to learn about Jesus, somebody's got to go tell them. Amen. Somebody's got to go tell them tonight. Here, if you're going to get somebody to Jesus, let me show you something right here. There was a burden that they held. There was the burden that they held. The word burden is also a load. It means a load. the people were under a load for this man. They was concerned about his sickness in verse number 3. The Bible says, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. They was concerned about his sickness, but can I say this? They was concerned about his sin, because in verse number 5, the Bible said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They was concerned about this man. They had a burden for him. Let me tell you what a burden will do. A burden will cause you to miss a meal. Let me tell you what a burden will do. You know, we talk about, boy, I'm burdened for my family member that's lost. How long has it been since you missed a meal over that? Amen. I know some of us, and it may be everybody in here, I don't know. But I know some of us for certain, because you've talked to me about it, is closing out, coming close to the end of a 21-day fast from different things. You know what? That's all fine and well, but how long has it been since you've been under such a burden for somebody that was lost that you didn't tell nobody else about a fast, you just went into it yourself? A burden. They had a burden for this man. What kind of burden do we have for the lost tonight? I thought about this today. I was in several different places today and was around a lot of different people today from just about every walk of life that you can imagine that lives in our county. I was around them at some point today in different meetings and different things. And I thought about this as I went from place to place today. I wonder how many of them really know the Lord. You know, just because somebody says they're saved don't mean they're saved. I'll just say this. It's hard to find anybody in Surrey County that ain't saved. You know, it's hard to find anybody a lot of times in jail, Miss Shara, that's not saved. It's hard to find anybody that's not saved. They're, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm talking about they can give you a clear testimony of the day they got lost. Amen. I can tell you, I got lost. I knew I was going. I got lost that night. And I'm glad I got lost, because when I got lost, I got saved. Amen. I thought, I wonder how many of these is really saved. How many of them is really saved? Does it bother us? Does it burden us? People that we work with, they got under a burden. That's the reason this man got to Jesus. The burden that they held. The burden that they held. You say, well, and I'm going to get in trouble right here. What time is it? It's about time to quit. I'll go ahead and get in trouble and quit. I've heard this statement made. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't doing without something. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't doing without meat, or I ain't doing without sugar, or I ain't doing without this, or I ain't doing without that. Don't convince me you've got a burden. I'm just being honest with us tonight, church. I'm just being real. Get mad at me if you want to. I'm just being real with us tonight. Let's don't talk about how big of a burden we've got. And in the same sentence say, well, you know what? There ain't no way I'm going to lay my Pepsis down for 7 days. Oh, me. Amen. Whatever we want to say right there. They got under a burden, man. They got under a burden. Because of the condition of this man. I really don't think that we really comprehend two things. Number one, eternity. And number two, hell. Because if we really comprehend, and I'm preaching to the core of our church tonight. I understand that. But I think if we really understood those two things, it would change our lives. If we could really roll back the center of the earth and look off into hell and see what hell is really like, it would change our lives. We would never be the same. The burden that they held. You see, when they got, when we get ourselves out of the way, we'll have a burden for a world that's lost. I thought about this. The burden that they held. Madeline, come start playing softly. I'll probably pick this back up Sunday night, to be honest, and finish it out. There was a burden that they held, but then after they got a burden, there was a bed that they hoisted. Look in verse number 3. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. I thought about this. They worked together. Brother Mark was talking to a guy yesterday, and I'm not going to talk about the whole conversation, but here's what he said. He was talking about an individual. He said, they just need to get in church. No matter where it's at, they need to get in church. And I believe it ought to be a church of like faith. You know what I'm saying, what Brother Mark's saying. He said, they need to get in church. You know what that is? That's working together. Because the man he was talking to goes to church and faithful and loves the Lord. And he was saying to him, it don't matter if they come here or if they go there or if they go over yonder, up yonder, or down yonder, they just need to get in church. And you know what? If we go to the shepherd's house and God opens that door and we see people get saved and some of them goes over to Clearview, is that the name of that church? Crestview. Pleasant View. They go over there to the View. Thank God they went to church. You know what? If we win them to the Lord and they go to temple, thank God they went to church. Amen. If they end up going to, what's Mater's church? Willis Gap. Yeah, Willis Gap. They go to, thank God they went to church if they go to Shining Light. Thank God they went to church if they go to Shield of Faith. Thank God they went to church. If they go to Northside, thank God they went to church. And I'm going to tell you something. If they don't go to one of like faith, I'm going to try to stir them a different way. When I say like faith, I mean they preach like we do. They believe like we do. They use a King James Bible like we do. I'm going to try to steer them a different way. Amen. It's just about working together. It's about working together, man. I don't think you just have to let your mind travel a minute. Brother Brian, I don't think one kicked the other and said, I'm leading the pack. I'm walking in the front. You can get in the back. I'm the one that saw him first and come got y'all to come help me get him. I'm leading the pack. No, son, I think they just grabbed the corner of the bed. And they hoisted the bed and worked together and went to Jesus. There was one central theme of them. That was get him to Jesus. Our central theme should be this. Get him to Jesus. Get him to Jesus. Get him to Jesus. I was talking to Stephanie today. And can I talk about what we talked about today? Is that okay? She said, I think so. We was talking about reaching our community. We was talking about the spring folly that's coming up in April. Told Miss Stephanie, I said, hey, are y'all going to set up at that spring folly? And she said, yeah. We had talked about doing a booth at it from the church, but then you run into trying to get somebody there and having them stay there for 2 days and work people in and out. And I said, why don't we team up? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you always put one of them cup holders on the cup to keep from burning your hand or your hand getting cold and it's got grounded on it. I said, what if we pay for them this time for the spring folly, and on the back part of it, we put our church logo, and we put a QR code, and they can scan that QR code, and it'll take them to a presentation of the gospel, and tell them how to be saved. And she said, I like it. And you know what that is? It's working together. It's working together. That's what we do. Let me back up and rephrase. That's what we're supposed to do. It's work together to get people to Jesus. You see, in doing that, you got to get yourself out of the way. Can't be about this or about that or about one or about the other. It was the burden they held and the bed that they hoisted. But when they started doing something, and I'll pick this up Sunday, those are the barriers that they met. Those are barriers they met. People wouldn't let them in. There's a roof system there. There's all kind of barriers got in the way when they went to trying to get somebody to Jesus. And hear me something. Anytime you start trying to do something for Jesus, there's going to be some barriers that you meet. But that's when you have to come back to a place where you go, you know what? Come hell or high water, I'm not backing down. I'm getting them to Jesus. Let the world say what they may. Let the world do what they may. Let them criticize me. Let them say whatever they want to say. We're going to get somebody to Jesus. But you know what? They may come in. I got hushed, but I thought about this. They're sitting there. The roof starts falling in. One of them probably screams earthquake. Other one says tornado. Jesus just keeps preaching. He knew what was happening. He was all knowing. They let that man down, and I'm sure somebody said this, what a mess. What a mess in the floor. Who's going to clean this up? Look at this mess. Who's going to clean this up? There's probably some. I'm going to get in trouble. There's probably some that's walked through during all this construction and went, you know what? Somebody's tracked mud in this church. Well, until you clean it up, don't complain about it. Some that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? Let me say it again in case everybody's hearing aids went out right then. Till you clean it up, don't complain about it. You know what? Thank God there's a mess in the floor. The other Sunday, the bus kids come in. They track dirt all down the hall back there. Into the classes. Dirt tracked up to my office. And you know what I was thinking? Thank God that the bus kids knew they could walk to the preacher's office and talk to the preacher. Thank God for the mess that was made at the church house on Sunday. Thank God there was somebody cared enough to get somebody and bring them to church. Thank God for the mess down at the carpet at the church house. Somebody said, there's a mess in the floor. Somebody probably let that man in, another and looked at another and said, well, what in the world's he doing here? He sure don't look like us. You can tell he's got a problem. You can tell he's got a problem. Maybe Jesus looked at all of them and said, shut up. Watch his. You say, he didn't say that. You don't know he didn't. You say, you don't know he did, but you don't know he didn't. Everybody hush a minute. Healed that man sick of the palsy. He stood up. He took his bed. He walked out. I'm gonna come back to this. And here's what they said at the end of that, verse number 12. People marveled and said, we never saw it on this fashion. Said, we never saw it like this before. If we're going to get to a place where we say we never saw it like this, there's going to be some people that's not just like us. And there's going to be some messes made. There's going to be some people that's not just like us. There's going to be some messes made. But when it was all said and done, could you imagine little Johnny walking home with Big Johnny that day? And little Johnny looks up at Big Johnny and says, Daddy, what made the difference down there at that house today? And he says one word, Jesus. Little Johnny never got over what he saw that day in that house. He never got over what he said. The only way little Johnny ever saw Jesus do what Jesus did is because there's a big old mess made with some people that didn't look just like them and didn't act just like them and had a disease that they didn't have. But Jesus healed the problem. May we get ourselves out of the way tonight. If we're ever going to get them here, we've got to get ourselves out of the way. Father.